Good morning. And happy Mother's Day to all you moms. Just as Gabe said, by the way, Gabe, no box today. Are you getting taller or what? Getting tall like your brother. Glad to see all of you here. Keep that text in Galatians 4 open. Lord willing, we'll conclude on that. But first, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. This morning's lesson, I know there's no obligation as such to talk about mothers on Mother's Day, but what a great opportunity to glorify God through one of His finest creations, if you will, moms. Couldn't help but think while Mike was talking about the Lord's Supper pointing us towards the future and our faith and our hope, that's what moms do all the time. They raise us up, pointing us towards the future, teaching, training, guiding us. It's the same thing. It's as if God has put into moms the very thing He wants to keep us on track and in line and moving towards what's right. I say it's as if. You make up your own mind about that. Well, let's talk about four ways in which God honors moms Himself. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 says this. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Here, we're talking about God honoring moms by creating them in His own image. He didn't just make man in His image. He created woman in His image. Every woman is just as much an image of God as any man. That's the creation. That's what He's telling us here. He made them in His image. He made them male in His image, but He also made them female in His image. And she no less than Him. And then in that creation account, we see that God has given women, just as much as men, dominion, authority over the creation. I believe that's why He made everything first, because He was creating a world in which He would put the man and the woman and give them authority over that world to use that world for good. And that's what moms do. They use things for good. You ever met a mom that wasn't resourceful? I think every mom, I don't know how Debbie does it sometimes, but I'll go in the kitchen, I'll look around, and I'll think, man, there's not much in here. Next thing I know, there's a gourmet meal on the table. I went, how does she do that? She's magic. Well, that's what moms are. They are magic, but not the magic of the world. It's the beauty and the glory of God. I think He puts so many things into moms that we don't even know how to appreciate all the time. But He also, in addition to creating moms, women, if you will, in His image, and giving her dominion with the man over the creation, He gave her something special. She has the means to bring forth life. That's in the creation as well, when God says, "Be fruitful and multiply." But you know who's going to be at the heart of that. It's going to be the mom. Chapter 3, later on, Adam would say of his wife, going to call her Eve, because the word Eve meant life. And that's what moms are. They are life. By the way, in talking about moms, it's not a slap to anybody who's not a mom, whether you're male or female. Because so many of these qualities we find in women in general. I have been mothered myself by women who were not my mom and who weren't moms themselves, except in the sense that they behaved like a mom towards me. And I am the better for it. You might be thinking they should have done more with that boy. But here I am, and you don't know where I've been. But I'm here by the grace of God and a good mom and good mothers. And that's what moms do. I wrote it recently because I just thought it was so true. Moms are women, and some women mother other people's kids almost as much as they mother their own, and they do it right out in front of God and everybody. They are just that kind. That's what they do. That's why they were made, and that's how they're made. Second way God honors women is in salvation. Stay right here in Genesis. Go to chapter 3 and look at verse 14 and 15. And you'll think, what is going on here? God's talking to the snake. He's talking to the serpent. He's talking to the devil. Yes, he is. But look what he says to the devil. Genesis 3:14. The Lord said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. Well, what has he done? Well, he deceived the woman. He deceived her into eating the forbidden fruit. That's what he's done. And so God says to him, on your belly you'll go, and dust you'll eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, that's hatred, that's strife, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. What is God talking about here but our salvation through the seed of woman? Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say through the seed of man. He doesn't say, I'm going to put enmity, Satan, hatred, variance between you and the man. So I'm going to put it between you and the woman and her seed that we now know is Jesus, and her seed, the seed of woman. You feel that power? You see that power? The seed of woman is going to bruise your head. He's the one who's going to give you the deadly blow. And she's going to come from whom? She's coming from Mary. Who's Mary? Quiet, little, demure Mary. Isn't that how you picture her? Teenage girl, perhaps? I think so. Just a cute little Jewish girl, innocent as can be. Gabriel comes to her and says, that which is in you is of God. Your son is of God. And that is fulfillment of this passage right here. By the way, the one I just was talking about was Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. That child within you is of the Holy Spirit. Yes. So God honors moms by creating them in his image, giving them dominion, giving them the ability to create life, and saying that her seed is the one that's going to be our salvation. God honors moms by including them in the lineage of his son. Take a look at Matthew chapter 1. This could be a whole sermon here. There are five women mentioned. Mary is one of them, but we won't talk about Mary this morning because we already talked about Mary a little bit. But I want to talk about these other four because there's a point I want to make about each one of them. The first one is Tamar, or Tamar. You can pronounce her name however you want. She's not here to defend the pronunciation of her name, and I'm sure however we do it, it would probably be wrong anyway. But Matthew chapter 1, verse 3. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Do you know that story? It's not the most beautiful of stories. Judah had a couple of boys, and they were so rotten that God killed both of them. But before God killed them, they were both husbands to Tamar. She married the first boy, and he was so bad God killed him. And so Judah said, well, I'll give you my other son. And so she married the second son. He was so rotten, God killed him. And Judah said, well, I've got a third boy, but he's young. Wait till he grows up and you can marry him. Well, he grew up, he came of age, and he did not give him to Tamar. So Tamar, dressed up like a harlot, sat by the road. Guess who came along? That was the plan. Judah went into her, and that's how Perez was born. Now you might ask, why in the world are you talking about that on Mother's Day, Marty? Well, why did God put it in the Scriptures? Think about it. Why would God put that right here in the text of Scripture? Tamar's not the only one, though. Next in line, right after Tamar, verse 5, Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Well, who was Rahab? Oh, you remember Rahab. Joshua chapter 1, chapter 2. She was that harlot. A harlot, Marty? On Mother's Day? Yeah. God put it in the book. Put her name down. Put it right down there with Tamar. She's in my son's lineage. Rahab became the mother. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz. Who is Boaz? Well, you know who Boaz was if you've read Ruth. And Ruth is next in line, by the way. Well, who was Ruth? Well, she was a Moabitess. What do you know about the Moabites? Well, just some other people in the Bible. No, they weren't just some other people in the Bible. You go to Genesis 19 and you read how the Moabites came to be. Lot was in a place called Sodom and he lived there and God destroyed that place. But before he destroyed it, he sent angels to Lot and said, get out of Dodge, Lot. And he did. He left town. What happened? You know the story probably because it's so colorful, I guess we could say. Grabs your attention. His wife did what? She looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. Why she looked back, I don't know. One more verse, Lord. No, Marty, you don't need it. Just keep reading. Well, the daughters, they said, well, mom's dead. What's going to happen now? Our father's name is going to die out. So they got him drunk, and his daughters had children by him. One of those boys was Ammon, from which came the Moabites. The other boy's name was Moab. From him came the Moabites. Ruth is a Moabite. She is the offspring of that relationship. Why are you talking about that, Marty, on Mother's Day? God put it in the book. And I think there's something to be learned from it. She's not the last one. Verse 6, Jesse was the father of David, the king. David was the father of Solomon by whom? Now, your text might have the name Bathsheba. Actually, the name is not in the original text, but it was she who was the wife of Uriah. That puts her in there, though. Her name was Bathsheba, and you may know that story, how David saw her and wanted her and stole her adulterously from her husband, had a child with her that would eventually die, murdered her husband, lied about, it was the most sordid situation. And yet what happens after all of that? God forgives. He gives them Solomon. Solomon is the king who sat upon the throne and Israel came to its zenith, its apex of power and glory under Solomon's reign. But that was the son of Bathsheba. God put these names in here. Put these women in here because he wants us to know this is in my son's lineage. Do you think your mom's perfect? Well, she is in so many ways, but she's also a human being. Give her credit for the good that she is and the good that she does. Give her credit for her faith. Give her credit for the inspiring way she raises you and loves you and cares for you. Give her credit for welcoming your friends into her home. Whatever she does, give her credit for that. But it's always easy to find fault. We could look at these four names here and go, what is that going on there? And God says, put them in the book. I want people to read this and know these women are in my son's lineage. They are the great, great, great grandmas of my son. And I want that written down for all eternity. And so when we look at our mothers today and we expect perfection, well, don't do that. Don't expect perfection. But what you'll find in almost every case is unceasing commitment to you, unceasing love for you, unceasing grace and unceasing mercy. It's as if God had given us a picture of himself in our own mothers, because that's what moms do, that's what moms are. In spite of anything that we might point out as a flaw or a weakness. And I have to wonder if that's not why God put these four names in the account of his son's genealogy. God's not ashamed to put them in the book. Last point is the one I mentioned from Galatians chapter 4. This is what Gabe read for us earlier. Paul is writing to the churches in the area of Galatia. It's an interesting area. People from the area we call France came down there, and back then they were known as Gauls. So all the Gauls moved into that part of Turkey or Asia Minor, and that place was so flooded with Gauls that they called it Galatia. And I don't know about you, that sounds like some place that Gomer Pyle would name. Galatia. Anyway, that's the area, and there were churches planted there. So the Galatian people were open to the gospel, and churches were planted. I don't know how many, but this letter is written to the churches in Galatia, and it's written to them because there were Judaizing teachers that had come into this part of the world telling them, oh, you have to go back to the law. You got to go back to the law. And Paul says, no, don't go back to the law. You're in grace. If you go back to the law, you'll fall from grace. And this is what he says in chapter 4. Let's start at 21. Get the whole context. Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. And the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants. One proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? For she is in slavery with her children. You hear what he's saying? Those whose spiritual capital is Jerusalem are in spiritual slavery. But Jerusalem above, you remember the Revelation chapter 21? John sees the new Jerusalem coming down from where? He doesn't see it coming up out of Judea. He sees it coming down out of heaven, dressed as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what Paul's talking about here. Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so it is now also. You see what he's saying? These who were enslaved in the present Jerusalem, in the law, they're persecuting you, saying, go back to the law. And he says, no, we're not children of that woman. We're children of the free woman. Two covenants. The old covenant that was passed. It wasn't designed to be forever. When God gave Moses that law on Sinai, it was a law destined to be taken out of the way. And Paul writes here in the third chapter that that law was a schoolmaster to do what? The schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And that's what the law has done, or that's something the law could never have done, but that law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And now that we are in Christ, we are free. And that's what Paul is writing here. Verse 30, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. What's he saying? In a sense, he's saying that the covenant we enjoy, the covenant bought with Jesus' blood. You remember what he said at the Last Supper, Matthew chapter 26? That cup, he said, is the blood of the covenant. That blood has bought us, and we have a covenant relationship with God. What is a covenant but an agreement between two or more people where one says, this is what the situation's going to be, and this is what I'll do. If you do that, you fulfill your part of the bargain, I'll fulfill mine. What's our part of the bargain? Our part of the bargain is faith. We put our faith in Him. We put our faith in Jesus Christ, and He says, well, my part of the bargain is I'm bringing you to heaven. How badly does he want to do that? Well, that cross hanging up behind me, is a reminder of what God has done to do that. But he did that through this covenant. And that covenant is our mother. Isn't it interesting that he refers to it this way? Because how do we become Christians? Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus, right off the bat, said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And what was Nicodemus' question? Oh, born again. Can I get back in my mother? No. You need to be born of water and the Spirit. And that new birth. You see, God designed women. Nobody else gives birth. Amen? As a matter of fact, I'm willing to bet that every single one of you here today came from your mama. Yeah. No test tubes. Nobody else. Just women. And how could there be confusion over that in our culture today? I don't know. But God made it clear in the beginning. And now he's given us a covenant. And that covenant gives birth to you and to me. And we have come into the covenant relationship with God through this covenant that he is now likening to a mother who is free. And so you are the children of the free woman sitting here today. Isn't that fantastic? And we have a heritage waiting for us. We've got a heritage behind us and we've got one in front of us. And these are four ways that I wanted you to see this morning with me how God honors moms. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. There's no way in a prayer or a sermon or a thousand prayers, a thousand sermons, we could enumerate all that you've done. But you've given us moms. They haven't been perfect, but my goodness, how wonderful they are. What a blessing to us they are. We're alive because of them. And so we thank you for doing that. We thank you for giving them everything you've given them that's poured out as a blessing on us. We thank you for the picture of yourself that you give us in moms. And we ask you to help us, as you have honored them, to give our moms honor this day, but not just this day, every day. Thank you for moms, and thank you for teaching us that we need to honor them. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are not part of a covenant relationship with God, then you've got a physical mother, but you don't have a spiritual mother, and you need that covenant. And we want to offer you the opportunity by standing and singing this song to let us know that we can help you fulfill God's wish for you to become a child in a covenant relationship with him. Or if you need prayer, you need anything this morning, we're asking you to come and let us know how we can serve you as we stand and sing this song together. Let's rise.